You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hey everyone, Tim McMaster here, along with our MLB.com Mets reporter Anthony DiComo. And Anthony, scary stuff on Monday as far as just not knowing what was going on with Matt Harvey. But as we record this on Tuesday, a little more information out there now. And the reason Harvey was shut down for the rest of the spring, blood clots in his bladder, which isn't something you often hear about. But it sounds like he's still set on schedule for opening day. From what you've heard from talking to Harvey, hearing from Harvey, how scary was this whole situation, just not knowing for him and the team?
Well, real scary before it was diagnosed, Tim, because like you said, no one, himself included, really knew what was going on. He said he had a little trouble going to the bathroom. He was in pain two nights ago and then woke up and finally reported his symptoms to the training staff, and they took care of it. But there was probably a 36-hour period there where it was very touch and go as far as knowing what was going on. And anyone who's ever had a medical issue that seems serious that you don't know what it is, it can be very, very scary. Now, they dodged a bullet on this one. Matt Harvey certainly did. He's fine. He passed the blood clot and is totally free to go back to baseball activities and totally good to go for the opener in Kansas City. But yeah, very scary situation, and I think the Mets are extremely happy to have this in their past.
And I guess a public service announcement of sorts comes out of this, because Harvey admitting on Tuesday that he tends to hold it a little too long when he needs to go to the bathroom. So
go
a lesson
to the bathroom, folks.
Yes.
If
so
you,
we'll get that out.
If you feel
there.
Like you have to go, don't ignore it. I'm never going to do it myself ever again.
So good news, and something we can kind of joke about now, but obviously dodging a bullet. And I think fans really not knowing what was going on instantly start to think, oh no, it's his arm, here we go again, you know, bad news for the Mets. But in the end, everything seems to be good, and Harvey should be there ready to go Sunday night on opening day. All right, so moving on to some other injury notes, so to speak, for this team. Asdrubal Cabrera getting back into the lineup on Monday as far as the major league spring training goes. Now, he missed, you know, nearly 3 weeks, Anthony. If he's ready to go on opening day, how does this affect him as far as with a new team, getting comfortable with Neil Walker as his second baseman, and just everything that goes into being comfortable with a new franchise? How much has these 3 weeks affected him?
Not a lot, I don't think, to be honest. He's a veteran player. He knows what he has to do to get ready, and you could say the same about Neil Walker. So despite the fact that they missed these real game reps, as shortstop and second baseman, I really don't think they need a lot of reps to do it. I mean, they took plenty of them out on the backfields before games ever began. And so I don't think it's going to affect them to any great extent. Certainly this is the biggest injury concern the Mets have had all spring, and that's a good thing because it's completely resolved now. He's back playing in games, and the Mets would never have put him in Grapefruit League games if they weren't positive he would be ready for opening day. So he'll be there. He'll be playing shortstop, and you're looking at a Mets lineup that's going to be whole on opening day. It seems like a simple thing, but over the years, that hasn't always necessarily been the case as we wind up March and head into April. So good news on that front for the Mets. And, will there be some growing pains between him and Walker and getting comfortable with each other? Sure. A lot of that is experience, but I really don't think it's anything that's going to be visible to fans, visible to opponents on a regular basis.
With a little under a week to go before the opener, not much left to decide for this Mets team over the last few spring training games, but the bullpen is one thing. For the most part, most of it is set, but the last spot, maybe two spots still open there. And also an interesting when you have a minor suspension they have to deal with, and then the chance to maybe go with one less reliever early on in the season. I'm just kind of sum up what's going on there with those last couple spots in the bullpen.
Yeah, still definitely a little bit up in the air, and Matt Harvey's situation actually affected that because the Mets are tentatively planning right now to go a man short in their bullpen on opening day, and really that's two men short because they will carry Hansel Robles, who's going to serve a two-game suspension, so he won't be in play for Kansas City. But effectively it means they have a five-man bullpen, and yet you're also carrying Bartolo Colon and Steven Matz, both of whom the Mets are leaning towards using in relief, whether that's piggybacking on one of the other starters if they go short, or just pitching an inning and pitching in that way. So if Matt Harvey was unable to go and the Mets had to start either Colon or Matz the first game of the season, that would have affected things. But Harvey's health obviously puts it in a better situation. Now it's just a matter of who gets that final spot. The Mets came into camp with a bunch of five locks, essentially, for their bullpen. And that was Familia, Addison Reed, and Antonio Bastardo as the setup men, Jerry Blevins and Robles, who's suspended. So you've got one more spot, essentially, because the Mets are only going with that six-man bullpen on opening day. It could have gone to Eric Cadell, but he hasn't really been healthy all spring, so that doesn't look like it's going to be the case. It could go to Jim Henderson, who's probably had the best spring of anyone and really deserves it. But the Mets would like to have a long man out of the bullpen, so I think it's going to be Sean Gilmartin will be that guy, at least temporarily. I do think Jim Henderson will be up before long. He has an out on his contract in mid-June, so the Mets will have an incentive eventually to get him in the bullpen. But right now, as we stand less than a week out from opening day, my money would go on Sean Gilmartin, who is starting today in Port St. Lucie, to lock down the final bullpen spot for the Mets.
Wilmer Flores, in the last week or 2 weeks, getting some first base work in, I know, with Keith Hernandez, obviously one of the all-time great first basemen, 11 gold gloves in his career, kind of getting some one-on-one time with Wilmer Flores. How much more valuable would it make Flores on this roster if he can get a grasp of first base and be able to just add that to his resume?
Well, to be honest with you, the Mets are hoping not very, because they're hoping Wilmer Flores doesn't have to play a lot of first base. The only reason you would is if Lucas Duda is hurt or really struggling against lefties, and Eric Campbell, for whatever reason, is not an option. Now, Campbell is going to be on the roster opening day, it seems like, so he would be that primary backup at first base. But down the line, yeah, it does add a little flexibility, versatility. If you have a guy who's capable of playing all four infield positions defensively and doesn't have to be a gold glover, doesn't have to be a star, but just can go out there and man the position and do it adequately for you, that's big. The Mets had a little bit of that with Kelly Johnson last year, and it helped them out. Kelly Johnson wasn't much of a shortstop, but he was able to go there from time to time and fill in times of needs. So that's sort of where the Mets are at with Wilmer Flores right now, kind of a break glass in case of emergency over at first base. But he's certainly capable of playing second, short, and third base at this point. If he can add first base to that, to the point where the Mets are comfortable putting him out there, it can only help. But like I said, Lucas Duda is the guy over there. Eric Campbell would be the secondary option right now. And Wilmer Flores probably third on the depth chart as we go into opening day.
All right, let's get into some bold predictions heading into opening day. And you've come up with three bold predictions as far as the Mets go. Let's go through them one at a time. And number one, as we started this podcast talking about Matt Harvey, and I know you came up with this prediction before the blood clots, but your prediction is that he will finish in the top three in the Cy Young voting. So you weren't willing to go super bold and say he was going to win it, but top three is pretty good.
Well, I don't think he will win it, because I think Clayton Kershaw is an absolute animal. I like Madison Bumgarner's chances to be up there this year. Max Scherzer could have. There's so many good guys. But, I've spent a long time personally kind of doubting Matt Harvey's ceiling, way back to when he was a prospect, and scouts were saying at the time that this guy's maybe a number two if things break right. Now, obviously, in his early career, he's been much more than a number two, but I just feel like it's time to give Matt Harvey his due. This guy is one of the best pitchers in baseball, and almost overshadowed in a way this spring at Mets camp, because you look at Noah Syndergaard, and everyone thinks Noah Syndergaard is going to have a huge year, and the Mets certainly hope and believe that he will. He has better stuff, pure stuff, than Matt Harvey, but Matt Harvey just knows how to pitch, and he's got that X factor on the mound, so when we look up at the end of the season, I'm at the point now where I look at this Mets pitching staff, and yes, Syndergaard's got a ton of potential. Yes, Jacob deGrom was the best pitcher on this staff last year. But Harvey's the guy, and it would not surprise me at all to see him be the best Mets pitcher. And let's face it, whoever the Mets best pitcher is this year is probably going to do pretty well in Cy Young voting when all is said and done.
All right, bold prediction number two is that Juan Lagares will play in 100 games, work his way back into near-regular status. Now, I guess my biggest question with this, Anthony, is at whose expense would he be able to get that much playing time?
Well, it's a good question. I would answer it by saying these things tend to work themselves out.
Yeah, they do.
You have a right fielder in Curtis Granderson who obviously expectations are huge for him coming off a MVP caliber season, but he's 35 and didn't perform well at all against lefties last year, which is kind of hidden by how well he did against right-handed pitchers. So I think his playing time is going to get cut into a little bit this year. I don't think Michael Conforto in left field has proven yet that he's the guy on an everyday basis. Now, maybe he will, but there's certainly some reps that Juan Lagares is going to be able to get over there. You know, Yoenis Cespedes is the guy on paper. You could say the Mets will run out there 150 times. But he's had quite a few little injury concerns over the past year as well, and nothing that's kept him off the field for any particular length of time. But he's had some shoulder things come up. He's had some random little ailments. So there is going to be time for Juan Lagares to get out there, and certainly he's going to start, I think, most days against left-handed pitching. I think he's going to be out there on opening day in the outfield with maybe Conforto or Cespedes as the DH. And then the thing you have to realize, 100 games, maybe it sounds like a bold prediction, but they're not all going to be starts. Juan Lagares is going to come into a lot of games as a defensive replacement. He showed up to camp in marvelous shape. He looks to me like he's not a step faster, but about three steps faster. He looks like he did back when he was a Gold Glover and just ranging down everything in center field. So that's all great news for the Mets. And if he can hit even a little bit, he's going to be out there a lot this year.
Yep, I'm a big fan of the prediction, and I think you're right. I think with all those things that could happen with the other outfielders, there's definitely time for him. And having that glove out there with that pitching staff is certainly a plus. All right, final bold prediction, and maybe this is the least bold of them just because we saw it happen a year ago, but the Mets will win the National League East.
Yeah, and I don't think it's going to be by a lot, so maybe that's the bold part. I don't think they're going to run away with this thing. I think the Nationals are going to be better, and maybe the Nationals aren't better on paper, but I do think when you're just looking at wins and losses at the end of the year, I think the Nationals are going to be a better team than they were in 2015. I think the Marlins are going to be a better team than they were in 2015, and then you've got two teams at the bottom of the division that probably are not going to be very good. So all those three other teams are going to be trying to beat up on the Phillies and the Braves, and I think it's going to be a dogfight throughout the summer. I think it's going to come down to middle of September, maybe even the final 2 weeks of September to decide this thing. But on paper, as I look at this thing, being down here watching this team for 7 weeks, talking to scouts, the Mets do have the best team going into the season. I think they'll probably add to it again, supplement it at the trade deadline, fill in whatever holes they may have at that time. But it's hard to go against this Mets team on paper right now, and really for the first time I've covered this team since 2010, it's the first time you can say that. So it's a nice place for the Mets to be, and I think they're excited just to get out there and start that quest and start playing the games and see where the chips fall.
This has been MLB.com Extras Mets Edition. Anthony DiComo, thanks so much for your time.
MLB.TV Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.TV for details.